I'm saying hello to everyone online, on Facebook, on YouTube. Some people are going to listen to this message on WhatsApp, so welcome to our WhatsApp family, on Church Online. I encourage you to share the service. There is a share button on Facebook and on YouTube. But what we're doing is once we share, we link hands. So you're watching it right now, and you're going, how do I link hands with somebody else right now and be the church and take this further than it could go just by myself? Well, the linking of hands is just by sharing. That's why we say evangelism in this unique season. Just clearly the staff are all struggling with spelling or words this morning. Evangelism in this unique season is spelled S-H-A-R-E, share. It's never been a season like this where you can actually link hands with somebody by sitting in your house and social media that's hurt so many people by causing them to compare can be something that can be a blessing to people. So why don't you use what sometimes can harm you for good right now and actually share the service and just allow people to join us on this journey. Come on, if you want to receive, why don't you believe with me? I'm going to pray and let's trust that God will speak to us this morning. God, we come to you now. We submit to you. We come under your authority. We can do this because we've got a desire to do your will. We're not perfect, but even as we have this desire, we submit to you. And even as we submit to you, we resist the devil now, and he has to flee. We're not only resisting from our life, from our family, from our children, from us as individuals. We're resisting from our nation, from our city. God, every plan that he has or anything he's trying to jump onto to create a momentum that's negative, we resist those things now. And we lose your love, your healing, your provision. And for us as individuals, we want to hear from you this morning. We want you to remove every barrier that would get anything that would get in the way of us hearing directly from you, that we'd leave and know that we got a word from heaven this morning in Jesus' name. And everyone believed it, said amen. Come on, we want your involvement. Why don't you write amen and lean in. I promise you, even as you write, take notes. I promise you, you're going to get more out of this, or even write on the comment section on Facebook. You will get more out of this. I want to thank all our production guys, everyone behind the scenes, our worship guys, everyone who's here this morning just to make Church Online happen. Our dream teamers who are serving right now online. I want to thank you guys for doing that, for being present. And we've been doing a series, Under Pressure. I encourage you tonight. Today's a Double Dip Sunday tonight. A friend of ours, Taryn, is preaching. Taryn is all the way from the southern suburbs. He's a pastor. He's a book writer. I promise you, you are going to be blessed by Taryn Williams. His message is phenomenal. And it also deals with us living under pressure. So double dip and share tonight's service as well. But today I want to talk to you about some tools that you need to actually use to position yourself to carry on winning. We've been saying that we are under pressure and so many things are coming against our identity. We're comparing ourselves. Some of us are living in a place where we are downcast, we're sad. And we also want you not only to be aware of this, but we want you to be aware of the tools that God's given you. But before I get there, I want you to be aware that everything, every battle starts in the mind. I want you to write that down. Every battle starts in the mind. Why do I say this? Well, if you think about it, the first time this battle started was in the Garden of Eden, where the enemy of mankind, the enemy of God, Satan, started to battle against mankind. And how did he do it? He did it by planting a seed. And what was that seed? It was a thought. We see in Genesis 3, 1 to 5. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. So there we see it. He was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord had made. And of course he said to the woman, did God really say, you must not eat from any tree in the garden? So there we go. Did God really say? The woman said to the serpent, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden. You must not touch it or you'll die. He goes on to say, you will not certainly die. The serpent said to the woman, for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Of course, the first attack on mankind was a thought. a thought that was contrary to God's plan for mankind. God made you and I to be in relationship with Him, and Adam and Eve were experiencing this relationship in all its fullness, and they were in the Garden of Eden, and the first plan was to get man disconnected. How did Satan do it? He did it by planting a seed in Eve's mind. We see later on, as the Israelites get taken out of Egypt, taken out of captivity, that as they go into the desert and they're preparing to take the promised land, the land that God had for them, the promise that God had for them, 12 spies go out, and then they go and spy the land for quite a while, and they come back with a report, and this is the report. They said in Numbers 13, 32, 33, "We scouted out the land from one end to the other, and it's a land that swallows people whole." This is the Message version. "Everybody we saw was huge." Why? Of course, they speak about the giants, and it says, "Alongside them, we felt like grasshoppers, and they looked down on us as if we were grasshoppers." How did they come to this place where they thought they were grasshoppers, and that they said that the people in the land also thought they were grasshoppers? Well, they didn't speak to them. You say, how do you know this? Well, later on, before the Israelites, this is 40 years later, they actually take the promised land. Spies go back to the land to look at Jericho, and they end up hiding in a lady named Rahab's house. And she says this in Joshua 2 verse 11. "When we heard of it," and she's referring to all the miracles. She speaks about the Red Sea and how God took you out of Egypt. "When we heard of it, our hearts melted in fear and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is the God of heaven above and on earth below." So He's the God of everything. So they had been thinking this for 40 years. The spies said, no, they think we're grasshoppers. But actually, when they finally, 40 years later, found out what these people were thinking, it was that they were actually fearing the Israelites, that their God was the true God, and their God was going to give them a victory. And they had lost all their courage, and they knew that the battle was lost before they even fought it. What kept people out of the promised land? A thought that was contrary to God's plan. A seed, a thought that the enemy had either placed, or a thought that had gone unchecked. Thoughts that are unchecked will become strongholds in your life that will either take you out of God's plans for your life or keep you out of God's promises for your life. That's why in 2 Corinthians 10, 3-5, we says, "For though we walk in flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." You and I have the same battle that Eve had, that the Israelites have, and we get told in the scripture that it's not going to be this physical thing that we get involved in, but it will be a mental thing. It will be an internal thing, and we need to be aware that God has given us the tools, and we need to be clear that this is actually where the battle starts and also where the battle is won. The enemy wants to plant a seed in your mind, a seed that says you can't, a seed that says victory will never be yours, a seed that says breakthrough, if it is experienced, will be short-lived, and defeat will knock on your door again, and you will never live in the promises of God. A seed that says that you are your past, that you are your failure, or that you, here's another seed, the enemy might have planted this lie in your head, that you deserve your success. That you are a self-made man, that you have got yourself here and nobody else deserves to be here like you, so you better make sure you keep your position by pushing everyone else down. There might be a seed that you're not enough, but the seeds are planted. And you and I have to be aware that there is a battle going on. It's a seed, it's a thought that's planted in your mind. And if you let that thing get planted and you start to lift that thing up above Jesus and it becomes the thing you argue about, it will become a stronghold. It says that we have thoughts, because if you look at that scripture, it actually starts up with strongholds, then it says arguments, then it says high things, then it says thoughts. So bring every thought captive. That's actually the pattern of how the enemy attacks you. He gives you a thought. If you leave that thought, you actually elevate it. So even if it's from the pit of hell that you're not enough, you will elevate that thought in your life and it'll become the prominent thought, the dominant thought. Then it'll become something that's an argument, and then it'll become a stronghold. If you keep lifting something up or bringing something up in conversation and even arguing about something, that's a sign that that thing's on the verge of becoming a stronghold in your life. You need to decide already. That's another sign. If you are always arguing about it, if you're always bringing it up in every conversation, it's on the verge of becoming a stronghold. And a stronghold is something that takes you out of the promise of God or keeps you out of the promised land. What I think, Masari, is more clear to me in scripture is that a stronghold keeps you out of what God has for you, and maybe just a thought can take you out of what God has already given you. Because just as Eve had that thought, she ended up stepping out of the promises of God. And you and I have to stop these thoughts. See, even if it's a thought from the pit of hell, we end up elevating it and lifting it above the thoughts that our God has for us from heaven. The enemy will do everything he can to get you into a stronghold. See, you and I need to be very aware of this, and we need to think on God's power and not on our weakness in those moments. Because if the thought can be connected to maybe a bit of truth about who we are, we might let that thought stay inside of us. But we have to think on God's power. See, if that thought is connected to a loss we've had in our past and pain we've had in our past, we will maybe let it stay in our life. But we have to think on God's victory that has already been won on the cross. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17 says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old is gone and the new life has begun. We have to, as soon as that thought comes in, take that into consideration. Say, I'm not my past. I'm a new creation in Christ. I'm not going to let that thought reside in me because somehow it's familiar and it's connected to something I did in my past. Actually, that's not who I am anymore. Isaiah 26 verse 3 says this, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. In those moments, that's when we need to trust God with everything. God, I'm not my past. You've made me a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. And I need to stay, I need to be focused on that. I want to encourage you that the thing you feed is going to win. You're either going to live in the victory that God has for you, or you're going to live in the defeat that the enemy wants you to live in. And you need to decide who you're going to let win. See, there is a battle. So you need to make sure you're feeding what you want to see win. It's so interesting when it comes to thinking. Even God has decided what he will think. In Isaiah 43, verse 25, it says, I will blot your sins. I will blot out your sins for my own sake, and I'll never think of them again. When I read that scripture, I just thought it was so powerful. And God's not thinking about our past. It's only the enemy. And if your past keeps showing up, I want to let you know that it's the enemy. If it's a thought that you can't, if it's a thought of hopelessness, that thought is from the pit of hell. It's not from heaven, because heaven is filled with hope. Jesus has won the victory. It says he's interceding on our behalf. So as soon as there's a thought that's negative, that wants you to pull out, that wants you to quit, I can easily tell you that is a thought from the pit of hell. And God has already decided to forget our past that he's forgiven us of. Our thoughts are so important because our thoughts are the foundation to our feelings. I encourage you, what we feel doesn't determine our thoughts. Our thoughts determine what we feel. Our thoughts also determine our decisions. You can't make great decisions with a lot of average negative thoughts. People make crazy decisions at low points, and in this COVID season, if you are feeling low, this is not the time to make life-changing decisions. Don't get off the train while you're still in the tunnel. Watch the voices in your life, because the voices in your life lead to the choices you'll make in your life. What you're listening to in this season. Some of you are reading more conspiracy theories than you're reading the Bible, and you think now that you're in this great place to make a decision on what's of God or what's not of God. It's crazy. You know what I mean? In this season, I would rather read the Word more and then make a decision, because the Word, it gives you discernment. I promise you, conspiracy theories do not give you discernment. Facebook does not give you discernment. The doctor in America who told you these things that you don't even know from a bar of soap does not give you discernment. Rather, listen to the people that you do know, and you've seen their life, and you've seen them committed, and you've seen them push through hard times. But you need to decide which voices are you going to let come into your life. Deuteronomy 30 verse 19 says, "Today I've given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life." It says, "so that you and your descendants may live." It's so interesting that Eve, in a moment of deception, walked away from life, and her descendants were affected. The Israelites believed a lie about what the giants supposedly thought about them, and their descendants were affected. Your thought life will affect your descendants. There's too much in front of us. There's so much before us. There's so much more that God has for you. Your choices today count. Your thought life count. Make decisions. Choose life, because God has more for you. The enemy has got less. Don't let him determine your thoughts. God's got more. Let him determine the thoughts. You, of course, you and I, we need to arrest the thoughts that are not of God. If we don't arrest the thoughts that are not of God, we will experience what the Israelites experienced. Because they didn't arrest the thought, they wandered into the desert. It says in Psalm 68 verse 6, he says, "God sets the lonely in families. He leads out the prisoners with singing." So that's what God does. As you start to think his thoughts, he takes us out of a place of loneliness, and he releases us from our past, whatever we're imprisoned with, and he takes us to a joyful place. But it says, "but the rebellious live in a sun-scorched land." It says the rebellious live in a dry land. And this is what I mean. You might not be rebellious, but you are what you think. So if you have rebellious thoughts, you will become rebellious. And the rebellious walked into a desert. And that's why we take every thought that is rebellion to God, that is arrogant, that is trying to lift itself up above the name of Jesus, and we bring it into the obedience of Jesus, what Jesus says about us, the victory that Jesus won for us, the future that Jesus has for us, for us and our children. We do not let these thoughts just carry on growing in our mind. A thought that is lifted up becomes an argument, and that we start bringing up in every conversation. Next thing you know, it's a stronghold. No, no. And next thing you know, we're living in a dry land. We don't let those things just dominate us. In those thoughts, there's no life. In those thoughts, there is a dry place. So I encourage you, please choose life. You might say, "Andre, the thoughts that I'm thinking right now don't really affect anyone else." That's true, but the problem is they affect you. And in a way, they do affect somebody else, because the people who are connected to you experience you in that negative place. Proverbs 23 verse 7 says, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he, as a man or a woman thinks in their heart." And the enemy wants you to get it into your head, but he wants to drop it deep into your heart as a stronghold. And said he wants you to think it and think it and think it, so that you'd walk out of Eden, that you'd stay out of the promised land, that your descendants are affected, that your marriage is affected, that your business is affected. But even worse, your destiny in heaven is affected, and you never experience the fullness of life that God's got for you in heaven. So quickly, practically, can I have just some keys up? I'm gonna give you some practical things now. if you're going to fight this battle and be alert, the thing is, get ready, number one, and be alert. That's it. Get ready and be alert. I've just made you aware that it all started in the mind with a thought. We see it in Genesis. We see the Israelites, and God tells us in the New Testament, our battle's not against flesh and blood, but it's a spiritual battle, and it's a thought life battle. So you need to be alert. 1 Peter 1 verse 13 says, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. In another version, it says, so prepare your minds for action and exercise self-control. Put all your hope in the gracious salvation that will come to you when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. And the meaning, if you study that scripture, it's like you and I having a room and our clothes are set out and we're about to go on a trip. And he says, pack your clothes up. Position yourself to move fast. Don't be lagging and slow in this area. Be quick to stop those thoughts. Take a lot of action. Get fit in the area of stopping unhealthy thoughts. Can you get ready and take action? Because I can't get any more practical, because you go, tell me what I can do practically, physically. This isn't a physical battle. This is something that's in your mind. You need to get ready to protect your mind, to not let thoughts grow. A thought that's elevated, that's an argument, and a stronghold. You know, Paul says this to King Agrippa. It's so powerful and it's so simple. He says, I think myself happy. This is found in Acts 26 verse 2. It sounds like such a simple scripture. It almost sounds like, is that even in the Bible? I think myself happy. You and I are not victims of this season. You actually have a choice what's happening in your mind. And even as you let your mind get healthy, your body will become healthy. Your life will be happier. The second thing is, don't lose sight of the vision. You and I were made for eternity. We were not made for the temporary. We need to fix our eyes on Christ. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us. Isaiah 26 verse 3 says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. I mentioned it. We stayed. It's fixed. Our mind is fixed on God. We trust in the Lord. Colossians 3 verse 2 says, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. And here's the basic rule. Your mindset is built on what your mindset is on. Your mindset is built on what you set your mind on. What are you setting your mind on? In this season, do you still see that it's all about Jesus? It's all about lost people being saved. It's all about you getting to heaven and your family getting to heaven as well. No matter what you're facing in this COVID season, it's still all about Jesus. Churches will be built. People will come to know Jesus. Our children will have a personal relationship with him. Our family will get saved. We believe it, and that's what it's all about. The reason God gives us jobs, he gives us positions in places so that we can bring the gospel. The reason God gives us money is that we're supposed to use money to fast track the gospel. The reason God's given you gifts is so that you can use it to serve people, so that people get to know Christ. The reason God's given you a brain, everything you have is actually all for Jesus. If we don't praise him, the rocks will cry out. Set your mind on Christ and you will set your mind right. Your mindset comes from what you set your mind on. Set it on things above. See, if you set it on things below, don't be surprised when you feel angry, confused, and restless. Because right now on earth, there's anger, there's confusion, and there's unrest. If you set your mind on earth, your mind will go there and you'll experience the fruit of that. But I'll let you know, in heaven, there's no unrest. There's peace, there's joy, there's salvation, there's intercession, there's worship happening in heaven. And if you set your life and your mind on heaven, those things will start to overflow in your life. So crazy that in Psalms 1:3, it says that those who are planted by the river, they bring forth fruit in every season. But it says the ungodly, in verse 4, they are like chaff, they are blown by the wind. The winds of change of the season have blown people away, but the godly are stayed firm. They're fixed. They're focused. They set their mind on Christ. They're building their life on the rock. It says if you build your life on the rock, the storms come. It says the winds come. The rain comes, but you'll not be shaken. But it says the ungodly just need a bit of wind to be blown away. What is your mind fixed on? It's pretty simple. The first thing you really have to do, actually, is make peace with God. When you're not at peace with God, you will always be at war with yourself. When you're not at peace with God, you'll always be at war with your true identity. When you're not at peace with God, you'll war against the plans that God has for you. You know, the disciples say this about Jesus in Luke 10, verse 17. Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. See, when you make peace with God, the enemy has to flee. Because you're coming under Jesus' authority. You're setting your mind on Christ. And I don't know if you've not made peace with God. Maybe your life is in a place of unrest and you maybe have got focused on the wrong things. And I encourage you to put your trust in God. And even as you do that, you can always set a filter around your mind now. Philippians 4, 8 to 9 in the Message Bible gives us what we should test, how we should test our thoughts. And I want to remind you, what is not tested in our thought life can't be trusted. It says this in Philippians 4, 8 to 9. Summing it all up, friends, I'd say you'll do best by filling your minds and meditating on things that are true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious. Of course, it's saying fix your mind on the best, not the worst. The beautiful, not the ugly. Things to be praised, not things to curse. Put into practice what you've learned from me. Of course, so there we see the word of God. What have you heard? What you saw and what you realize? Do that, and God, who makes everything work together, will work you into the most excellent harmonies. You need to put a test there. Psalm 119 verse 1-5 says that your word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. The word is the standard. The word should determine what we're thinking. I love in Deuteronomy, and we use this scripture when we encourage parents, but it says, if you observe the, in Deuteronomy 11, 8 and 9, it says, "They observe therefore all the commands I'm giving you today, so that you may have strength and go and take over the land." Of course, the land he's speaking about is the promised land. What kept them out of a land? A lie. What took them into the land? The truth. The truth of God will always take you into the promises of God. If you read the scripture later on, it says, and if you tie these promises around you and teach them to your children, they will live long in the land. If you can start to learn how to think in a healthy way and start to focus on the truth and set your mind on Christ, not only will you live in the promise of God, but your children will learn to live in it for a long time. And they can teach their children. What I want to do quickly is, I want to give you an opportunity to respond to the gospel. If you're not right with God, if you're not right with Jesus, I want you to make peace with Jesus. How do you do it? You do what I did. I knew I needed Jesus. As soon as I heard the gospel, and what's the gospel? The story that Jesus died for me. He paid the price for my sin. I can't pay that price, but he did. I can't earn his forgiveness, but he gave it to me for free. Once I heard it, I knew I needed to come to Jesus. If you need to come to Jesus, receive the free gift of salvation right now. I want to give you this opportunity. I want to give you an opportunity to respond to the gospel. How do you do it? The Bible says, if you confess that he's the Son of God with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, it says you'll be saved. you're receiving the free gift of salvation. If that's your honor, you to get yourself ready. You might have a family member who needs to pray right now. I encourage them to pray, but I'm going to lead you in a prayer in this moment. Why don't you get ready and repeat after me and make peace with God. Jesus, I confess that you are the Son of God. I believe in my heart that God raised you from the dead. Because of this belief and this confession, the Bible says that I'm saved, that I'm changed, and I'll never be the same. Help me now to set my mind on you, Jesus. Amen. Awesome. Listen, we want to encourage you guys to stay connected. We're going to have a prayer meeting on Tuesday. We want you to join us. That's going to be at 7 p.m. Tuesday night. We're going to host it from the church, and then you can jump online. I encourage you tonight, Taryn Williams will be preaching. If you haven't shared the service, share it. We're going to go live again at 10, so we encourage you to invite you all that haven't been at church. We also got a WhatsApp service if the people are struggling with data, so make them aware of that opportunity as well if you know anyone. But I encourage you to stay involved in this season. Remember, next week, Grant Stevenson preaching two different messages, morning and evening. So we're going to have a blessed week as well. Can't wait to see you if you're going to join us at 10 again or tonight. Have a blessed day. Cheers.